Good morning. Before I begin, I just want to say how thankful I am for this opportunity. In Tom's absence, as he is away, I never take lightly in this occasion to stand before you and share God's word. It is a privilege and a blessing to open scriptures together, and I am thankful for every opportunity to encourage others and to encourage myself through the study of God's truth. I certainly don't stand up here claiming to know everything, to be anything special, but I am grateful to God for the ability and the time I have to encourage others through His Word. And every chance to study, every chance to speak, and every chance to grow together is a reminder of how God is good to all of us. So my prayer this morning is simple, and that is that God is glorified, that His Word speaks clearly to our hearts, and that each of us leaves encouraged and strengthened in our walk with Him. So let's begin. Over the past few lessons I presented, we have talked about the condition of the heart. Recently, I presented a lesson entitled, The Marks We Bear, Healing in Our Christian Walk. And in that lesson, we discussed scars and calluses in the heart, and how scars remind us of healing, and how calluses remind us of places where we no longer feel. So that lesson dealt with our spiritual hearts. This morning's lesson connects closely with that thought, but from a different angle. Because one of the greatest questions we may ask in our Christian life is not simply what has happened to me, but rather how am I responding to what God is doing in my life. And so today I want to begin with this old simple proverb, one you've probably heard before, which goes like this. The same sun that hardens clay softens butter. That's an easy picture to imagine. So we could see the same sun shines with the same heat, the same light, and the same intensity. Yet clay becomes hard, while the butter becomes soft. The difference is not in the sun. The difference is in what the sun is shining upon. Spiritually, that truth is powerful. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings." Brethren, if Christ is the Son of Righteousness, then His light shines upon every heart. His truth shines upon every heart. His grace shines upon every heart. Yet the same sun that softens butter hardens clay. Again, the difference is not in Christ. The difference is in the condition of the heart that receives Him. Because the sun represents God's word, the sun represents God's truth, His blessings, God's discipline, God's patience, even the trials and pressures of life. So just as the sun shines upon everything beneath it, these spiritual realities touch every single one of our lives. None of us live outside the reach of God's influence. Every day God is speaking. Every day He is teaching, correcting, blessing, and warning us, and shaping us through the experiences of life. Sometimes that sunshine comes in the form of God's blessings. like the family he gives us, the prayers he answers, the strength to make us through another day, and the mercy we wake up to every morning. But other times the sun feels much hotter. It may come through disappointments, through correction, through conviction, suffering, the hardship we face each day, the pressures of life, our seasons where God is trying to refine us and draw us closer to Him. And just like the heat of the physical sun reveals what something is made of, the spiritual sun reveals the condition of our hearts. God's word can soften one heart into repentance, while the same word causes another heart to become defensive and hardened. A trial may drive one person closer to God in prayer, while another grows bitter, angry, and distant. God's patience may lead one soul to gratitude and obedience, while another mistakes his patience for permission to continue in sin. But let's be clear. Again, the issue is not with the sun. The issue is with what the sun is shining upon. The same God, the same truth, the same gospel can produce completely different results depending on the condition of the heart receiving it. And here's the reality. Same God, the same gospel, and the same truth can soften one heart while hardening another. So the question this morning is not, is God shining? The question is, what is my heart becoming under His control? Am I becoming softer? Am I more humble? Am I teachable? Or am I more resistant to Him? Or am I becoming more bitter towards others? Or am I becoming more hardened? When God's word shines on me, am I clay or am I butter? The sun represents God's word and God's work within us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." God's word is not dead information. It is alive, and it does penetrate. It convicts us. It exposes what is truly inside of us. So like the sun, it rises continually. It shines constantly. It reaches everywhere. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 that God makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. Here in Matthew chapter 5 verse 45, Jesus was teaching that God shows kindness and mercy even toward those who do not deserve it. The sunshine and rain come upon all people alike. God's goodness is available to everyone. But not everyone responds to that goodness in the same way. And spiritually, that is exactly what happens with God's word. Two people may be sitting in the same pew, hearing the same sermon, singing the same songs, listening to the same invitation. Yet one leaves convicted, and the other one leaves unmoved. One changes, the other hardens. Same sun, different hearts. Again, the problem is never with the power of God's word. The issue is always the condition of the surface upon which it falls. And Jesus illustrated this in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, it talks about the seed was good in every case. But again, the difference is it was the soil that it fell on. Jesus showed us in Luke chapter 8 that the same seed can produce very different results depending on the condition of the heart. The wayside heart hears the word, but never truly lets it sink in. The rocky heart receives it emotionally, but has no depth to endure. The thorny heart allows the cares of life to choke spiritual growth. But the good soil receives the word honestly and holds tightly and bears fruit with patience. The seed was never defective. The sower never failed. The difference was always the condition of the soil or the heart. And brethren, that brings us to a sobering reality. Every time the light of God's truth shines upon us, something happens inside of us. The word will either soften us toward God or harden us against Him. And that is why Scripture repeatedly warns us, such as Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Pharaoh is one of the clearest examples of this principle. The more God revealed His power, the more Pharaoh resisted. The same signs that moved some to fear God only caused Pharaoh's heart to grow harder. Why? Why? Because of pride and stubbornness and self-will can turn the heart into clay, baked beneath the heat of the sun. And if we are not careful, the very sermons meant to save us, the very warnings meant to help us, the very invitations meant to restore us can slowly harden us through repeated resistance. That, my friends, is why the condition of the heart matters so much. So with that in mind, let's now consider the clay. The clay. Hearts that grow harder. Clay is made of fine particles of earth mixed with moisture. When it is moist and pliable, it can be shaped, such as what a potter can do when he tries to mold it and form it and use it. But when clay sits too long under intense heat, it hardens. And eventually it becomes rigid, unbendable, difficult to reshape. Spiritually, hearts can become exactly the same way. Again, the biblical example is Pharaoh, which we find in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 32. In Exodus chapter 8, we find that it says, "But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also." Think about what Pharaoh experienced. Pharaoh experienced miracles, warnings, God's power, and he experienced the opportunity to repent. Every plague was another beam of sunlight. Every warning was another opportunity for humility. But instead of softening, he hardened. Again, I ask why? Because pride was already within him. The same acts of God that should have broken him only strengthened his rebellion. So the important truth for us, God's truth does not merely reveal righteousness. It reveals the condition of our hearts. Sometimes people think, you know, if I just heard another sermon, if I just saw a little bit more evidence. But hear this, Pharaoh saw more evidence than most people ever will. And still, he hardened himself. Because evidence alone does not soften hearts. Humility does. The application for us is, we may never stand before Moses, but we can still become like Pharaoh. A heart becomes clay when we hear the truth, but we ignore it. We are corrected, but we refuse it. We feel the conviction, but we suppress it. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hardness is gradual. Nobody wakes up spiritually cold overnight. It happens one ignored sermon at a time, one delayed repentance, one act of pride, or one compromise. And eventually the heart stiffens. So we need to be careful. Now let's look at butter. Butter. Hearts that grow softer. Butter reacts differently under the same sun. It softens. It melts. It's pliable. It's moldable. And spiritually, that is the heart God desires in us. A biblical example is Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 3. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That was the message. It was short, it was direct, and it was powerful. And look what happened. Verse 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God. They humbled themselves, they fasted, and they repented. The sunlight melted them." Contrast that with Pharaoh. Pharaoh resisted. Nineveh surrendered. Same God, different hearts. What does a soft heart look like? A softened heart responds quickly. A softened heart accepts the correction they are given. A softened heart seeks growth and wants to please God. It does not argue with conviction. It yields to it. We read in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "The goodness of God leads you to repentance." Now, some people experience God's goodness and become entitled. Others experience God's goodness and become grateful. That is the difference between clay and butter. We see David demonstrated this in Psalm 51, after his sin with Bathsheba. When confronted by Nathan, David finally said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That is a softened spirit. It wasn't defensive. It wasn't prideful. It was broken. It was humble. It was teachable. Now, the same word, different reactions. The clearest example may be found in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it says, "They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" These people realized they had crucified the Messiah. The word pierced their conscience, and instead of resisting, they repented and obeyed the gospel. But then let us look at Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we find where Stephen preached the truth boldly. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it says, "They were cut to the heart." This was the same conviction and the same truth, the same exposure. But this group was furious. They resisted and killed Stephen. So we see one group melted, the other group hardened. That is how powerful and dangerous God's truth can be depending on the condition of the heart. So with that in mind, let's consider when the sunshine gets blocked. Sometimes the issue is not that God stopped shining in our lives. Sometimes something is blocking that light, such as sin. Sin can block the sunshine. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. It says, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God." What this means is that sin can create shadows. Not because God moved away, but because we moved away from Him. Turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 3 and verse 4, David's example here, it talks about how David described unconfessed sin like this: that his strength dried up and that his spirit felt heavy. He was emotionally exhausted. David experienced crushing burdens of hidden sin. Though God was still there, David could no longer enjoy the warmth and peace of fellowship because guilt stood in the way. So we know that sin still does this today. It blocks our joy we have. It blocks the peace we have. Sensitivity. It blocks our spiritual growth. So how do we remove the shadow? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 tells us to confess our sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We are to repent of our sins. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Return to God sincerely. And when repentance happens, it is like clouds parting after a storm. The warmth of God's presence reaches the heart again. The soul breathes again. And the light touches us again. But something else can block the light. And that's distractions. Distractions can block the sunshine that we find also in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. It talks about choked with cares, riches, and pleasures. Not every hardened heart begins with rebellion. Sometimes it begins with distractions. Life becomes crowded. Schedules become full. The soul slowly gets neglected. We have an example where Jesus told Martha in Luke chapter 10, "You are worried and troubled about many things." Martha wasn't doing anything sinful. She was simply overwhelmed, and sometimes we are too. So the application for us is this. We become so busy living life that we stop nurturing our spiritual life. That is why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Not second, not occasionally, but first. Sometimes something blocks the light, such as trials. Trials can feel like blocked sunshine. Sometimes clouds of suffering roll in. We feel loss, we feel pain, we feel fear. We see disappointment. And we wonder, where is God? Where is God to help us? We have the example of Job, where Job lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his wife. He lost his wealth, his health. And yet Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." The sun was still there, even when Job could not clearly see it. We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to God. To his purpose." We see that God works through every circumstance, even painful ones, to accomplish spiritual good for those who love him. That does not mean everything feels good, but it means God is still working, even in suffering. The important truth is, faith is trusting that the sun still exists, even behind the dark clouds. We also see something that blocks the sunlight, such as pride. Pride can block the sunshine. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." As we've seen in this lesson, pride is one of the greatest barriers to spiritual softness. Pride says, "I'm fine. I don't need help. I already know what to do. I don't need you. I don't need the correction." And once that pride settles in, the heart begins to harden. James chapter 4. The context here, James was addressing believers who had become worldly, self-focused, and spiritually arrogant. The solution was not self-exaltation, but humility before God. That is still the answer today. A teachable heart remains soft. So the practical life application for us. Trials reveal the heart. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. It reads, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 teaches us that trials test our faith and produce endurance. Hard times reveal what is truly inside of us. Will hardship push us away from God? Or does it draw us nearer to God? God's word always works. Isaiah 55, verse 11, it says, "It shall not return unto me void." Talking about God's word. God's word always accomplishes something. It may save, it may convict, it may warn, it may expose, it softens, or it hardens. But it never leaves people unchanged. Every sermon, every Bible study, every invitation does something to the heart. Correction tests softness. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, it teaches the wise love instruction, the foolish reject it. Correction reveals spiritual maturity. A softened heart says, "Help me grow." A hardened heart says, "Leave me alone. I don't need your help." Now, some illustrations for reflection. Think of the two criminals on the cross in Luke chapter 23. Both men saw Jesus suffer on the cross. They heard his voice and his words. They both faced death. Yet one mocked Christ and the other one cried out for mercy. The same cross, the same Savior, but the difference was their heart. Or how about two children under discipline? One child rebels and complains and resists the correction, while the other learns and grows and changes. Again, it's the same discipline, different response. How about two Christians in hardship? One becomes bitter and says, "Why me? Why is this always happening to me?" And the other one becomes dependent upon God and says, "Lord, help me trust you more." It's the same storm, but different hearts. So here's the warning and some encouragement. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Every time we hear God's word, something's happening. We are never standing still spiritually. We are either becoming softer or we are becoming harder. There is no neutral ground. To conclude, friends, the sun is still shining, even on a June gloom morning. Every one of us is responding somehow. Maybe life has hurt you. Maybe trials have exhausted you. Maybe distractions have crowded your heart. Or maybe pride has slowly built walls around your spirit. But the beautiful truth is this: God can still soften what this world has hardened. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 says, "I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God specializes in restoring hearts. So this morning, ask yourself honestly, what am I becoming under the influence of God? Am I growing tenderly? Am I more humble? Am I faithful? Am I teachable? Or am I resistant? Am I becoming more distant? Am I more hardened? Because the same sun that hardens the clay softens the butter. And the difference is the heart. One closing statement. May we never become so hardened by life, so distracted by the world, or so filled with pride that we stop feeling the warmth of God's presence. Let every sermon soften us. Let every trial strengthen us. Let every correction humble us. And may every blessing draw us nearer to God. Because one day we will stand before the Son Himself. And when that day comes, may He not find hearts hardened like clay, but hearts softened, surrendered, and shaped for His glory. Now the invitation: if your heart has grown cold, God can soften it. If sin has created shadows, His grace can remove them. If you have never obeyed the gospel, believe in Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And live a faithful life. And if you've drifted away, come home today. Because the same sun that hardens clay will soften the butter if you let it. If you are subject to the invitation, please come forward while together we stand and as we sing.